I think I've chosen that hymn like at least one other time. But it just seems appropriate. And it's one of my favorites. So don't be surprised if we sing it again next time I'm here. Amen. Psalm 125. Psalm 125. A song of ascents. Those who trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. From this time forth and forever. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest upon the land of the righteous, that the righteous may not put forth their hands to do wrong. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts. But as for those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead them away with the doers of iniquity. Peace be upon Israel. Let's open in a word of prayer. Lord, this evening we look at this psalm and the importance of trusting in you. And as we walk through this life, Lord, we have many opportunities to put our trust into you, and I pray that we would do that daily, and that tonight would be a reminder for us to do so. Thank you for your word. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. Job 5:7 says, "Humans are born to trouble as surely as sparks fly upward." And there are several options that we have when it comes as believers, as how we face troubles. One of them is described in Psalms 56:3. It says, "When I am afraid, I will trust in the Lord." There's another way that's described for us believers in Isaiah 12:2. It says, "God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid." I like option two. Although option one I find myself in on occasion. But option two says that we have an option not to be afraid and to trust in the Lord. This psalm gives us four ways, four blessings that the believer has if we trust in the Lord. The believer has stability, security, sufficiency, and serenity. Stability, security, sufficiency, and serenity. Verse 1 tells us about the stability that the believers have. Those who trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. This being a song of ascent, as we've described in previous weeks, is a psalm that is sung while Israelites make their pilgrimage for the various festivals to Israel. And so as they're walking towards Jerusalem, they would be singing a song such as this. And the illustration, I'm sure, reigns true as soon as they came over the hill and they saw Jerusalem. The illustration and this song really became real because Jerusalem is built on Mount Zion. It's literally a bedrock. The foundation is a mountain. So when we look at Mount Zion, when we look at Jerusalem, it is a picture of being immovable, permanent, a foundation that has endurance, that cannot be moved. And when we trust in the Lord, we are like Mount Zion, immovable, permanent, and we have endurance. The Hebrew word for trust here is betach, B-E-T-A-C-H, betach, I'm probably not pronouncing that right, but that's okay. Batak means to rely exclusively on the Lord. All aspects of our life, from the small things to the large things, there cannot be an aspect of our life that we cannot rely on the Lord. We need to trust on the Lord in all things, no matter how minute they seem to be. It means to attach oneself or to cling to clench onto, just as Jacob, when he wrestled with the Lord, he said, "I will not let you go until you bless me." It's the same mentality that we have when we trust in the Lord. We cannot let go. It means without wavering, steady, like a mountain. It means to rely upon with firmness or confidence that he will do perfectly what is right because he knows best. And if we trust that we know when we're going through trials that he knows best for us and that he will perfectly do what is right, then we will not waver. We will not detach ourselves, and we will rely exclusively on that trust because we have that confidence that he will do according to his purpose and according to his promises. Matthew 7, 24 to 27. Let's turn there. Matthew 7, 24. A familiar passage. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." As believers, when we trust in the Lord, we have stability like Mount Zion, unwavering upon his promises. Verse 2 describes the security that we have in trusting in the Lord. Again, this is a song of ascent, and if you look at the topography of Jerusalem, these Israelites that were on this pilgrimage, their first view of Jerusalem would have been over a mountain that they had to ascend to get to it, because Jerusalem is surrounded by mountains. It has valleys all around it, and then built on Mount Zion. So Mount Zion is here, and then there's valleys, and then there is mountains around it, making a natural fortress. I looked up the topography online of Jerusalem, and I guess it's changed, but back then they had ancient topographies, and it was a natural fortress. And so the illustration of singing this song and then walking up this view of Jerusalem must have just really become real to them. David, when he conquered Jerusalem, moved the capital to Jerusalem for a couple reasons. I never really thought about this, but he moved the capital to Jerusalem for outside of any instruction from the Lord, but just from a strategic standpoint, it had access to water, which in a desert type of area was key. It has natural springs of water. It was centrally located so that all the tribes could come to Jerusalem to worship. But also, from a strategic location, from defense, it was called a stronghold, and it really was. It was hard for David to conquer. Joshua tried to conquer it and failed. And it was a natural, because of its topography, it was a a natural fortress. Let's look at Joshua chapter 15. Joshua chapter 15, verse 63, the last verse of the chapter. It says, "Now as for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the sons of Judah could not drive them out. So the Jebusites lived with the sons of Judah at Jerusalem until this day." It was very difficult to conquer. Flip over to 2 Samuel chapter 6. And this is the story of David attacking the Jebusites in Jerusalem and finally taking over Jerusalem. So 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 6, and I'll read down to verse 10. "Now the king and his men went to Jerusalem against the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land. And they said to David, 'You shall not come in here, but the blind and the lame shall turn you away,' thinking, 'David cannot enter here.'" And the stories say, history says, that the Jebusites actually put the blind people and the lame people on the wall to mock David, saying, "Even the blind and the lame can defend our walls. We don't need much of a defense because of the natural defense that we have." That's how steep of walls that they had and the fortress that they had. "Nevertheless, David captured the stronghold of Zion," verse 7, "that is in the city of David. And David said on that day, 'Whoever would strike the Jebusites, let him reach the lame and the blind who are hated by David's soul through the water tunnel. Therefore they say, the blind and the lame shall not come into the house.' So David lived in the stronghold and called it the city of David. And David built all around from the Millo and inward, and David became greater and greater, for the Lord God of hosts was with him." So the way that they attacked it, and it's also described in 1 Chronicles, that Joab, David said, "Whoever kills the first Jebusites will become my chief commander." So Joab actually went through the water shafts into the city and opened the gates, and that's how they finally conquered. They didn't breach the wall. They had to sneak in through the water shafts and open the gates so that they could finally enter. So that's the type of fortress, that's the type of security from a natural standpoint that Jerusalem had. And when David conquered it, he fortified those walls. He built up those walls, making it even a stronger city. So that's why they called it the stronghold. Several times it's called David was in the stronghold, and that's in Jerusalem. So when we trust in the Lord, we have security. And God sets the hedges or the boundaries in our life to keep Satan away. Dr. Steve Lawson, I have a quote from him where he describes this. "When you trust in God, there is a God-made hedge around your life. The things you cannot handle, God will keep away. The hedges are known only to God, and there will be times in your life when, according to his pleasure, he will remove that hedge and allow Satan to touch your life. When he does, it will be for his glory and eventually for your own good." And you think about that, and you bring back the illustration to the book of Job. It was God who actually initiated the conversation with Satan. It wasn't Satan saying, "Hey, I've noticed your servant Job." It was God who said, "Have you noticed my servant Job?" And he's the one who put the hedges up and removed the hedges. He said, "You can do anything except touch his life or touch him." And so Satan touched everything except Job. And then finally later, God removed even that hedge and said, "You can touch him, but don't take his life." Even after Job was restored, God never pulled back the curtain and told Job what happened or why. It's encouraging for us as believers to know that nothing will touch us except what God allows. He's in complete control, and we can trust him because he knows what's best, and he knows that it ultimately is for his glory and eventually for our good. Verse 3 says, Jerusalem, let's look at verse 3. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest upon the land of righteousness, that the righteous may not put forth their hands to do wrong. So Jerusalem will be protected if they put their trust in the right place. And this is told over and over throughout the Old Testament. You think of Jericho, Joshua and the Battle of Jericho, love the song. They had to do nothing. The Lord did everything because they trusted in the Lord. They went to him, they said, what should we do? Should we go? And he said, yes, and here's how you should do it. The next battle was Ai, which was a much smaller city, less fortified. So they sent the B team, they sent the JV team to Ai, and they were pounded. But their trust was in the wrong place. Their trust was in themselves. So as long as Jerusalem puts their trust in the right place, they will be protected. He is our security. He is our stronghold. Thirdly, the believer has sufficiency if they trust in the Lord. Verse 4, do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts. When he says do good, he means to favor them, bless them, and grant them success. And to whom is he talking? Who is the good? It refers back to verse 1, to those who trust in him. When we trust in God, we're actually shifting the responsibility away from us and onto God for him to accomplish our sufficiency. He will provide and protect and sustain. When we rely on ourselves, we are open game for the devil. God is a good God, and we can trust in his goodness. Nahum 1:7 says, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him. Matthew 7:11 says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? But let's look at verse 5. But as for those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead them away with the doers of iniquity. It's scary to think that those who turn their own way, this says the Lord will actually push them in that direction. So I think this is put here as a warning, as for the ramifications for those who are not trusting in the Lord, for us to be diligent, for us to deliberately and methodically, daily, trust in him. Finally, the believer has serenity. Peace be upon Israel. The word peace, of course, is shalom, peace, abundant blessing. So if verse 1 is true in your life, then the end of verse 5 will also be true in your life. I said we have two options at the beginning. Option 2, where Isaiah 12:2 says, God is my salvation, I will not be afraid. And for the believer, we can trust in our God to give us that salvation so that we do not have to be afraid. That song that we sung, Stayed Upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised, perfect peace and rest. That's Psalm 125. Any questions or comments?